Thank you. So, as Joe alluded to at the beginning, we're doing things a little bit differently during this period on Sunday morning. So we're going to be spending more time in prayer and worship together and less time in listening to people like me. So if I say to you that I was tasked to sort of do just 10 minutes, we'll see how that goes. And I can see you checking your watches now. But we'll aim for something like that. And I want to talk this morning about gratitude or grumbling. Gratitude or grumbling. And particularly because this week, I have personally found that gratitude has been just a recurring time and time and time again emphasis during these last few days. Now, obviously, if you're getting, as many of you are, the daily emails during this period of prayer, you'll know that gratitude is one of the repeated themes each week. On Mondays, we encourage people to focus specifically on gratitude. But not just that. Mondays is also quite significant for our small group. And a little while back, we adopted a practice, or tried to adopt a practice that I think we kind of borrowed from other groups, where we message each other in the group on a Monday with something that we're thankful for. So Mondays is big on thankfulness and gratitude. And then a little bit later in the week, I was sitting in on a meeting with prospective parliamentary candidate for Yeovil, who's also a member of Somerset Council. Now, the guy's not a Christian, as far as I'm aware, but he said with real conviction, yes, things are really difficult at present, but over and above the current financial crisis, it saddens me, he said, really grieves me, that there's so much negativity around these days. So much negativity. He said, just be so much better if people could begin, just generally in life, to focus on the positives. And he's not wrong. We are very polarized and negative and cynical and grumbling people if we're not careful. Also this week, I had the pleasure of sitting down having lunch with John Pocock and John Masua. This is their last Sunday here, so I can't see where you are, but you're around somewhere, aren't you? There they are. They're over there. Bless you. I found that so encouraging, and I was so thankful to hear how God has led them over these last months. John's doing really, really well up in the Diocese of Chester, and God's really using him there, and God's been good to them both as they've sold their house to somebody we know. That's a real blessing. So, yeah, I was thankful and filled with gratitude for what God is doing there. And then yesterday, some of us went up Summerhouse Hill, which is the big hill just up there. And we were praying over the town together. There was about 20 of us there. And we recognized as we were sharing together and praying over the town that actually, we were confessing we do have a tendency to grumble. We grumble at the state of our town. We grumble at the state of the town centre and all the works that are going on, at the state of the roads and the state of the shops and the state of the services. And we do grumble a lot, rather than being thankful for the many, many good things that we have, which we just take for granted. And as we were thinking that, We spent a bit of time worshipping with a song, which was interesting because we didn't have any instruments, but that was fine. Well, no, sorry, Julie Bauscher will correct me there. We do have an instrument. It's called our voice. And then we kind of took a slightly interesting turn, and we were reminded of a song by the Wurzels. So, Joe, I hope you're listening here. We're looking forward for your worship team to pick this one up. But actually, the lyrics are quite significant. This was from some years ago. In my heart, I'm always Yeovil. I belong to Yeovil town. Yeovil true, through and through, whether we're up or down. Because the sign of a true supporter is the colour of their heart. Day or night, I'm green and white. We are Yeovil town. Steve Gaylard, eat your heart out. I know you were at football yesterday. And yet, actually, actually, we shared it because there's something about that actually resonates with the Holy Spirit. No, it's not we're necessarily called to support our local football team. And thankfully, we're not necessarily all called to wear green and white. But the Holy Spirit does encourage us, does prompt us to be a positive supporter, to be a blessing, an instrument of blessing for this town. We want to capture some of the heart of those words, to be a positive blessing to this town in the ups and the downs, and to be thankful. And then, even as we're concerned for some of the specific things we're involved in, and particularly concerned for the families in our community that are going to be left without the same degree of support from Yeovil for Family because of the council's struggles financially, Adam was reminding me, should we not, alongside that, also be grateful and giving thanks for all the many, many families that we have had the privilege of supporting over recent years? God has been good that we've been able to do so much over many years, and we need to learn to be thankful. To reiterate what was said in Monday's prayer email from Colossians 4, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, be thankful in everything, in all circumstances. Now, as has been alluded to, our theme for this first week of our period of prayer has been on encountering God. And you'll have seen references all over the place, and it came up in our children's video about looking how Moses went up the mountain to hear from God, and he spent 40 days there. So let me read from Exodus 24. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and wait there. Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction. And then Moses went up on the mountain, and cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, God called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. And Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and for 40 nights. And we just have some things that we can note from that. God now invites us, all of us, not just a few special ones, all of us, to come close to him. Come up to me, he says. We are all invited to that. What an intense privilege to be in the very presence of the King. And like Moses, we are invited to wait, to remain, to linger in his presence. Lois alluded to that. I'm a bit like Grace was describing. I'm not very good at waiting. I was chatting with Elias the other day, and he was sort of saying how when he's trying to learn to spend time with God in silence, to take time in silence and spend a specific few minutes each day. I think he's getting good at it. I'm not. If I try and sit before God, right, I'm going to be silent. You can count the seconds, it's about three, before my mind is going somewhere and trying to construct something or think through something or process something. I need to learn to wait, to remain, to linger in God's presence. And our culture isn't very good at waiting and lingering, and I'm not very good at it. But it strikes me that, as I say up there, part of the reason perhaps the rest of the community of Israel in the story of Moses was not permitted to share in this encounter that he had with God, incredible privileged encounter, was because of their attitude. You see, we do well to remember how just a very short while before, the people had been spending their time grumbling and complaining. So in Exodus 15, immediately after celebrating their victory, after crossing the Red Sea, you know, they had this great song, "Thank you, Lord, you've thrown the Egyptian pursuers into the sea." And yet, just almost immediately after that, we read that Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went to the desert of Shur, and for 3 days they travelled in the desert without finding water. And when they came to Mara, they couldn't drink its water because it was bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" And then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood, and he threw it in the water, and the water became fit to drink. I find that kind of slightly amusing. "Oh, there's no water." "Oh, bit of wood, there you are, that'll sort it." New form of desalination. But despite the goodness of God shown to them then, the very next chapter, Exodus 16, just 2 months after being freed from their slavery, we read, the whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin. I think it's place, not characteristic. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted." Not true, but that's how they remembered it. "But you brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." And the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you." And he did. I don't know quite what tone of voice the Lord was using when he spoke to Moses, but it kind of feels a bit like, "You want bread? I'll give you bread." And he did. And that was the manna that they ate, which was every day. They're grumbling all the time. And then again in Exodus 17, the community camped at Rephidim, and there was, again, no water for the people to drink. So they quarrelled with Moses and said, "Give us a drink." And Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us, our children and our livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with this people? They are ready to stone me." And the Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people. I will stand there before you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." A lot of stuff there, I suspect. But you see, despite all the repeated provision that God had made for them, his incredible kindness and amazing miracles for them, they were still complaining. And they were still complaining years later when they're getting quite close to entering the promised land. If we jump ahead to Numbers 20, they're still complaining. "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no corn or figs or grapevines or pomegranates, and there's no water to drink." They are always so much into grumbling. Have we not read the Psalms? Joe alluded to it a minute ago. Let's come before him with thanksgiving. Let's enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. That's the attitude we need to adopt. So when we're caught in this cycle of cynicism and grumbling and complaining, can I suggest we just need to stop and pause and wait for a minute? Have we not seen enough of God's goodness? Have we not experienced time after time his amazing faithfulness? Have we not tasted the living water of his Spirit? And Jesus, the very bread of life? Should not we, of all people, be those who overflow with thankfulness? To quote the Wurzels, should not the colour of our hearts be gratitude? And should not we be those who bless God and bless this town by demonstrating this gratitude, this thankfulness in how we think, how we speak together, how we speak to those in the community, how we speak of this town, and how we act? Joe, would you like to bring the band up? Colossians 2 says this: just as you received Messiah Jesus the Lord, you must continue your journey in him. You must put down healthy roots in him, being built up brick by brick in him, and established strongly in the faith, just as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. Lord and Master, forgive us for our grumbling and our complaining, for our cynicism and our negativity. Teach us to gain and retain a right perspective, to constantly call to mind your amazing goodness and grace to us, your people, and to this place to which you've called us. Teach us to be grateful. Amen.